it would mean that I would have a permanent stoma and perhaps even two stomas at that point. That was the possibility. So yeah, I lived a life thinking it was reversible for a year. And then obviously when I was offered the operation to save my life, because they needed to take certain parts of me away, it would mean that there would be no chance of a stoma reversal, which is obviously really hard news when you've had your hopes pinned on a reversal. But I also was very grateful that I was even offered this operation, because that was never on the cards to begin with.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the final episode of this special Stoma for Life October Takeover, proudly supported by Dansec. Over the past 3 weeks, I've heard from three extraordinary individuals, each offering a raw and honest glimpse into what it really means to live with a stoma. Their stories haven't just informed, they've moved us. They've created space for visibility and dignity and connection in a world that often overlooks the lived experiences of ostomates. And today, in our fourth and final episode, we bring this inspiring series to a close, but not before welcoming one more powerful voice in the conversation. Now, this October series was created in partnership with Dansec, a company with over 50 years of experience in stoma care. While they are well known for their pouching systems, skin barriers and care accessories, their commitment goes far deeper. Dansec stands for dignity, confidence and well-being, values I personally connect with, having trusted their products since my very first bag change. This month also marked World Ostomy Awareness Day, celebrated globally on the 4th of October. Dansec's theme this year, empowering ostomates worldwide to be comfortable, says it all. It's all about raising understanding, educating others and breaking the stigma that still surrounds stoma life. With Dansec's support, Stoma for Life has embraced that mission, sharing weekly conversations that uplift, inform and give voice to real people and real stories. Which brings me to today's guest, Natalie Woodward. Natalie's story is remarkable, not only because of the challenges she's faced, including a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, but because of her strength, her openness and her drive to shape her own narrative. She's also the face of Dansec's Back Pouch campaign, which falls under the motto More Choice, More Confidence, a bold step in celebrating personal expression and ownership in stoma care. So whether this is your first time listening or you've been with us all month, thank you. Thank you for showing up, for listening and for being part of a community that refuses to hide. Now let's close the chapter with intention and strength and the voice of somebody who truly embodies what it means to live boldly with a stoma. Please welcome my guest, Natalie Woodward. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to Stoma for Life.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Now, Natalie, I already said this in the intro, stage 4. Now, this was at 36. Now, it's a kind of sentence that changes absolutely everything. What led up to it?
Yeah, so I think I was a young woman living in London. I started to feel unwell, like in my mid-30s, probably like about 10 months before my diagnosis. So I was 35 years old. Nothing really alarming at first, but just started to feel more and more unwell. But before that point, I was a dancer and a dance teacher, living with my partner in London, enjoying my life, thinking about starting a family, just what all my friends and peers were doing, really. Started to get more and more worsening symptoms. The regular things, you know, when you go to the doctors, and due to my age, we just thought it was things like IBS or food intolerances. And yeah, over the next 10 months, got progressively worse until I was diagnosed with stage 4 and inoperable, and they did think it was incurable at the time. So yeah, it was a big shock.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that, like I said, that word itself, cancer, and then you hear, well, stage four and inoperable. I mean, that's just massive. So what, how did this all evolve? What did they actually say what they could do for you?
Yeah, so at the time, I think I was very naive, and I think that was a gift, because I think if I really knew what they were saying to me, I would have been really frightened. But I had hope. They offered me some treatment, which is obviously great. So to be offered any treatment as stage four, you're like, okay, well, this is something, this is not a write-off. And they wanted me to have some chemo radiation together. So I had 29 days of chemotherapy in a row with the chemo pump attached as well. And I'd have my days in the chair. It was really aggressive. But I remember just thinking like, okay, let's do it. Like, what do I need to do? I was so ill at that point. Like, my body was really shutting down. I couldn't eat. I couldn't go to the toilet. I was so unwell that I was weirdly relieved to have an answer to why I was feeling so ill, because everything else up until that point that the doctor had suggested obviously wasn't working. So there was part of me that was relieved, and also part of me that was like, let's get on with it kind of thing. And I did have to wait to start treatment, because of the bowel not working, it was blocked by the cancer. I did need a emergency colostomy. So that was the first step.
Okay. All right. And yeah, I mean, that of course itself presents new challenges, something that nobody wants to hear and nobody actually aims to have. But it is also a form of relieving your symptoms. And for you, obviously, there was light at the end of the tunnel, because they sort of started to know what they could do for you.
Yeah, I think at that point as well, I always had in my mind that this would just be temporary. The stoma was like just to help me get through treatment and hopefully extend my life. I'll be really honest with you, I was obviously disappointed to hear that I needed a stoma. I don't think I really understood what it was, but I knew that it would mean going to the toilet in a bag. And I think there obviously is so much stigma around it, even if you don't know what a stoma is. It's something that you think, oh, it's something that old people have, or there's so much negative talk about it that I was really disappointed. But I just kept reminding myself that this stoma would help me get onto treatment. And then hopefully when I'm onto treatment, my cancer will respond really well. And so it was a hard news, but also I knew that our little stomas help us carry on, right? We wouldn't be able to get to the next step without them. So that was really an important realization for me.
Yeah. Well, it means to an end, obviously, in that case. So when did they say to you, listen, we've got to do some more. We've got to actually do a lot more.
Yeah, so I had, because I was inoperable to begin with, and my initial consultant did not think I would, the tumor was enormous. It was filling my pelvis. It was growing back into my spine. It had pushed through the wall of my vagina. I could actually feel it. It had grown into my uterus. It was everywhere. And she didn't think I would be at operable point, as in a cancer operation, not the stoma operation. But so the first year I was just, it was a loop colostomy. So it had a potential to be reversed. And I was really aiming for that reversal. I was really obsessed with it, if I'm honest with you, despite all the other things going on. I was really fixated on that. And then when my first year of, I had like chemo radiation, more chemo. And then we got to the end of the first year, and it had responded remarkably well. I did a lot of holistic things as well. I really changed my whole lifestyle. And so in pretty much a year after diagnosis, I was referred to St. Mark's Hospital, to the complex cancer clinic. My local hospitals couldn't offer me any treatment, but they hoped that they would be able to at St. Mark's. So at that point is when I was told about the operation I needed. And that's the point when I realized that it would mean that I would have a permanent stoma and perhaps even two stomas at that point. That was the possibility. So yeah, I lived a life thinking it was reversible for a year. And then obviously when I was offered the operation to save my life, because they needed to take certain parts of me away, it would mean that there would be no chance of a stoma reversal, which is obviously really hard news when you've had your hopes pinned on a reversal. But I also was very grateful that I was even offered this operation, because that was never on the cards to begin with.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about that operation, I know it's often referred to as the mother of all surgeries.
Yeah, so I have heard that. It's really strange. It's such an aggressive surgery. I know there's another one as well where they wash you out with chemo. I think they call that mother of all surgeries as well. But yeah, I have heard it called that. And yeah, it is. It's enormous. It's very life changing. When I first heard about it, I was like, pardon? I didn't realize you could take all of those parts out of a human body and still carry on living. So yeah, my surgery, it's what's called a pelvic excenteration, and there are different types of excenteration. And mine is what's called a high complexity excenteration, due to like being spinal. My spine was involved, my pelvic bone, and lots of other things.
Now, this isn't just a surgery. It's actually, I would say, it's identity altering. Now, what part did you think was the hardest? Like, I'm talking about the aftermaths now. You know, what parts of your sense of yourself did you find hardest to hold on to afterwards?
That's a really good question. So I guess so. I'll explain to the listeners for the parts that they took out of me. So for me, I got cancer at 36. So I was just at the time I was thinking about having my babies with my partner. And so they removed my ovaries, fallopian tube, cervix, womb, vagina, rectum, anus. They removed part of my spine with four spinal nerves. They removed the pelvic bone on my left side. So they scraped out the pelvic sidewall, my pelvic floor, some nodes. And also the cancer had spread to my left ureter, so the tube that connects my left kidney to my bladder. I really wanted them to try and save my bladder so that I would have one bag instead of two. And my surgeon kindly tried this for me. So they got an extra surgeon in to remove the cancer from the ureter and then replumb in the healthy ureter back to the bladder. But they've obviously had to cut and make my bladder smaller. So it's an enormous operation. I was very fortunate to keep my bladder, but I have to self-catheterize to go to the toilet because obviously due to being cut and handled, my bladder doesn't quite work. So yeah, it's such an enormous operation. There are so many elements of my life that have changed, but I think the things that initially really affected my identity as a young woman was having my fertility taken away. And being that I was so unwell when I was diagnosed, I didn't have time to do fertility preservation. So they just said, I'm really sorry, we can't harvest your eggs. It would add too much time on it. And I was very, very unwell. So you know, we made that decision together. That's fine. We'll carry on with treatment. But yeah, that was really hard as a childless woman. Your life is really different from what you had expected it to be, and your friends' life carry on their path. And you do. I still feel it now. You know, it's been a long time since I made those decisions to have treatment, but it's still something that pops up a lot. And I think that's a big thing. Also, obviously, the stoma bag, as you know, that massively affects your identity in so many ways, and your self-confidence and feelings of being attractive, or feeling, you know, those, I guess, sexual feelings, like feeling that, yeah, and being obviously that I had my vagina and the hole underneath of me cut and rebuilt using other parts of my flesh. that feeling of like, I don't know how I'm ever going to feel good about myself again or ever want to be intimate with anyone again. And so, yeah, I think all of those things were really, it took a long time to feel good. You have to work hard, don't you? You have to be dedicated to be like, okay, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I need to try and feel better. And how can I do that? And it's a journey, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I often heard people, I mean, I do not in any shape, form or size want to compare myself to you, but I often heard from people saying, oh, you were so strong, or you're so strong. I don't think I could have done that. But I think it's a survival mode that you go into because you have no other choice.
That's true. And I guess the other choice is to give up. And when it's your life, there's nothing more important, is there, than like, obviously we want to continue our lives. And that is the big thing for me was I did want to survive more than anything, but my quality of life was very important to me. And so to consider there was conversations where I might not have the use of my left foot due to the part of my spine that they were removing. Even after the operation, my surgeon came to see me in the intensive care and said, we had to take more of the spine away than we thought when we were in there. Can you move your left foot? And I did. And he looked so relieved because this was a possibility of not having the use of that. So there was the fertility, the stomas, my sexual function, my foot maybe not having mobility. There was so much to consider that at one point I was like, okay, so I'm going to survive, but what's my life going to be like? What is my quality of life? That was my main concern. But then I saw people, not that many people were talking about pelvic excentration at the time, but I saw just one girl who was ahead of me living her life. She was back at work. And I thought, wow, I can do this, because I saw her doing it. And it gave me so much strength that my life would still be good and still have quality, and that it was worth me going through to stick around for. So, yeah.
You know, recovery is all often talked about like a finish line, you know, when you've recovered. But it's actually so much more. And what does it look like for you now on a day-to-day level, like emotionally and physically? Because I mean, I know you were a dancer before. What is it like now?
So now I think the thing I would say is it's really nice that someone acknowledges that there is no finish line. And I think especially with the surgery like I've had, we will never get back to how we were. The things that we're living with now will never improve more than it is now, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'm not going to suddenly grow back those parts of my body. So for me, I obviously have a stoma bag. I self-catheterize, which now that I've found the right products, I have good quality of life. But even that was a journey in itself, just to find products that I was confident with. I was having recurrent UTIs and a really bad kidney. I nearly had to have nephrostomy done at one point. The catheters I was using were not good for me. And same with the bags. I was so nervous to go out and eat when I was out or join in with things. So I would go to say that finding the right products for me has been a game changer. The other things I live with, obviously, I do have a lot of pain where they've removed. So they removed my right bottom cheek, so the glute muscle, to kind of reconstruct the underneath of me. And so I find it still painful now, even 5 years on, to sit down for a period of time. It's like sitting on my bone. Mobility is different every day, but I'm really, really fortunate. I think I worked really hard. I've been really consistent with my rehabilitation. And so I'm dancing again, and I've been teaching dance for cancer patients. And that's really given me some of my identity back. As you rightly said earlier, it takes so much of you away. You have to like find yourself again. And so to bring things back into your life that bring you so much love, that's been so key to me, feeling good again. Like, oh, I, I'm not that person's not completely gone. I'm still here. And actually, now it's like the new modified version. You don't, you know, you learn all these lessons, don't you? I saw something you wrote on your Instagram, and it's like, are you focusing on what you've lost, or are you focusing on what you still have? And I really thought that's so key, because we're allowed to talk about our sadnesses and our grief. We're allowed to acknowledge that, but we have to move forward as well. We have to go, right, what can I still do? Or actually, what has this brought to my life? It's brought the most wonderful people, the most amazing experiences. So yeah, I think the things I live with, it isn't easy. And as you know, like getting up in the morning, you know, I haven't sat on the toilet for 6.5 years. I think even just those kind of things, people take for granted that even going to the toilet in the morning is an effort, right? But it slowly becomes your normal. And you just keep, on my bad days, I remind myself, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't even be here. So get on with it.
Those are really, really important phrases you've used there, because energy goes where attention flows. And if you're stuck in, I'd say, a negative spiral, or also in the grief spiral, which you, like you rightly said, you're allowed to do that. You have to grieve to actually get out at the other end. But a lot of people are also stuck in that mode. It's essential to then refocus, realign, and readjust, and find that focus of, and also that purpose. You've clearly done it. You've clearly found your purpose, and you've got so much joy out of it. It doesn't look the same as before, but you are also not the same as before. And I think acceptance is a very big step in that direction.
Yeah, acceptance. And also, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I look back at pictures before cancer, and I've got my whole body, and it's all like not perfect, but you know, in one piece. And I look back and think, well, I didn't even appreciate it then. And so now I definitely have way more appreciation for my body and how has it gone through all of that. And now look what I can still do with it. The time I get to spend with my loved ones that I wouldn't have. I think you're right to remind everyone that it's okay to acknowledge your pain and your grief. One thing that's really helped me is throughout my time with cancer, like I was diagnosed at the age of 36, and I made a group of friends all around the same age, all with the stage 4 diagnosis. And I've lost so many of them. And it's been absolutely, you know, the cancer friends you make is so, it's such a deep bond. And actually, the girl that helped gave me the confidence to have my operation, she passed away, and she was like one of my cancer best friends. And, when I'm having a hard day, I think of them and think, gosh, like, if you can't do it for you today, do it for them, because they would love the opportunity to have got this far. And unfortunately, cancer's not a fair game. Not everyone gets the same chances. And it doesn't matter how hard some people work. They just, their cancer isn't, you know, it's not a level playing field. So yeah, I think the losses of those wonderful people who would have given anything to still be here really helps me as well. When I'm having a day where I'm like, oh, I just wish I was just normal. No, like, okay, feel that, let it out, and then make the best of what you've got, because you're here. You're here.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. The cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
I know you've also become a support system for others facing pelvic excenterations. And what pushed you? Well, I suppose you've actually said it already. What pushed you to turn that experience into something that others could learn from?
So for me, I asked myself, what did I need to hear and see when I was diagnosed? And really, there, as I said, there wasn't anyone talking about it publicly apart from this one girl, Alex. And she, that's what I needed. I needed her to not just tell me that it's going to be okay, but she was living her life. You know, she was a detective in the police and she was back at work after going through everything. And even when her cancer returned, she was still out on boats with her chemo pump attached, you know, party boats. Like, she really lived her life. And she openly talked about her operation, which demystified it a lot. And I think for me, that's why I started to speak about it, because there's a lot of people that go through this. It's still fairly uncommon, but there's still a lot of people who go through this who have no support. They had nobody to talk to. They had nobody to say, well, what's my quality of life going to be like? It was just all in their imagination. And that's why I wanted to share my experience, which is just my experience. I'm not pretending to speak on behalf of everyone. However, it's always best to that someone shares their experience, because it might make someone else feel a little bit less lonely going through it. Or someone at the beginning of their journey go, oh, well, Nat's back dancing and she can do this, this and this. She's living with a stoma and catheters. That's great. Like, that's really encouraging. So that's the main reason, is that's what I needed when I was diagnosed.
And, you know, being in the age of social media, you share your story on a global scale. Now, first of all, just share your handle on Instagram for our listeners so that they can follow you.
Oh, yeah. So it's Nat Woodward Official. That's on Instagram. That's my main place. I did try to go on TikTok, but I feel like I'm too old.
I haven't even tackled TikTok. So, but thanks to social media, thanks to the internet, thanks to platforms like UK Health Radio, who are an internet-based radio station with 1.6 million listeners worldwide, these stories get heard globally, because you've said it. You know, it's we live in the UK now, but there are people all over the world that have to deal with these challenges, and it just brings the world so much closer, and also makes your story, because you're sharing it, and it makes it valid for other people to listen to, and so important in their own recovery.
Absolutely. And like, thanks to you for giving a platform, because, you know, we've talked before briefly that there are some platforms that don't allow you to talk about certain parts of your body, and there's a shame in talking about, oh, your vagina and your anus. And it's like, no, like, this is what happens to some people. It's demystifying that. It's also breaking down the shame and being able to talk about, look, this is what I had to have done, and this is what it's like living with it. And it also goes beyond the patients to the people who are caring for them, or the medical professionals who are like, oh, so this is how it feels to live after this surgery. So it's really important to me to have these conversations.
You said it already, you speak and you're an advocate, and you represent across multiple spaces, from DANSAC and Hollister to the ACP GBI. Now, how do you balance being a voice for patients while still being yourself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm sure you will agree. There are some days that you're dealing with your own grief and your own pain and your own, like, the side of long-term, the late effects of cancer treatment. And so there are some days it's really important to be like, I actually can't talk about it today, but just give me a moment and I'll be with you. I think it's important to have that, because sometimes you get the second chance of life and you want to say yes to everything. But, you know, you're right. We're dealing with our own. My health isn't 100% at the moment. I'm living with, it's called empty pelvis syndrome. So where I have absolutely nothing in my pelvis, part of my small bowel has dropped into my pelvis. I'm getting constant bowel obstruction. So really for the last sort of 9 months, I've been on, I would say 90% time fluid only. You know, it's a lot to live with. And sometimes those obstructions will mean I'm out of action for a few days. But in the time that I have when I'm well, it's really important to me to do things that I feel are useful with the experience I've had. And that's different for everyone. You know, it's enough just to survive and carry on with your life. I'm not saying that my life has more meaning for doing it. It's just the way that I find purpose in what I've gone through. And I know that so many other people do that as well. But yeah, especially with the surgery that I've had, there's been such little long-term studies into improvements for, you know, people who are living with these complications. I guess because a lot of the patients don't survive long-term, but now survival's improving with medical, you know, advancements. So yeah, it's important to me that people who have to have this surgery after me don't have to live with the things that I'm living with. It does give me purpose, but I really think I will repeat that it's really important to take time for yourself to fill your own cup so that then you can really go out and keep helping or keep spreading the word.
Absolutely. You know, I come from the airline business, and they always say, you know, when the oxygen masks drop, you take that mask for yourself first so you can help the others. And that's so important. You know, you've got to have your cup full so that you can share. And it's also good to recharge your energy levels. It's actually not just good, it's vitally important. Let's talk about something completely different. Oh, not so different, but the Dansac Black Pouch. Now, the launch was recently, and it's all about visibility and choice and power. What did it mean to you to be the face of a product that challenges how one would see stomas?
Yeah, I mean, it's been such an amazing experience, such an honor to be part of it. When I was approached about being part of the campaign, weirdly, the week before, I'd said to one of my contacts at Dansac, I was like, oh, I wish we had these bags in a black fabric. And then she just sent me the emoji with a zip. And I was like, no. So it's something that I've been wanting a while, just because the choice of fabrics, like I was using a different bag with a black fabric because it looked a little bit more sleek and less medical, basically. And I was wearing it, but it wasn't working for me. So the functionality of the bag for me was not good. So it really made my confidence plummet. Like I had a lot of accidents when I was out and about. And it really knocks your confidence, doesn't it? So I'd finally found the Dansac bag that was so great. Like, oh my gosh, I was dancing, I was swimming, I was doing everything. And I was thinking, I wish it just looked a bit less like a stoma bag. So anyway, it all came about with this black fabric. And it's just been an amazing experience because for some people, it doesn't matter, like the color of the fabric bag. But there are a lot of people, and I've spoken to them, who are like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that they've offered this because it's the best bag I've ever used. But it's just nice to have something that looks like part of your outfit, or yeah, for me, less medical. So yeah, I've been part of that. We did the filming last year and we've done all the launches this year. And it's just been a really special experience because it's Dansac listening to not what everyone wants, but a section of their community, of their end users. It's really important to us. I think perhaps people, especially on the younger end, who are in their 20s or 30s or even teens, to have that option of a bag that looks less like a bag, oh my gosh, quality of life-wise, that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah. And also self-expression, you know, it's something yeah. that you are still allowed to do. You're allowed to express yourself. And I'm definitely going to put the black pouch on my order list for the next one round because I was offered one from a different supplier and I just didn't like it. So yeah. I cannot wait to actually try the one from Dansac. So yeah, no, yeah, well done. Well done. I love the campaign and it's really wonderful. Also the videos and it's absolutely incredible.
Do you know what I really love about the campaign? So hopefully the listeners will go and check it out. But basically, it's me dancing. and my outfit color changes. It's so beautifully done. But what I love about it is that at no point do you see my stoma bag. The campaign is about being able to be free and live your life and join in with the things you love doing and it not being obvious, you know? And it's not about hiding the bag away. It's just about, we're just getting on with our lives, yeah? And it's free, like, gives you back your freedom. Yeah. And so that's what I really love about the campaign. It was so thoughtful. I've had so much lovely feedback. I don't take credit for it because it was the photographer, the videographer, the people who came up with the ideas. It was a really special concept, and I think it's been done really beautifully.
Just invite the listeners to actually look into the video and give the black pouch a try. It's really well worth it. I can't wait to try it.
You'll have to let me know what you think.
Yeah, definitely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This show is going full circle because my very first guest was Lisa Murphy, who is currently climbing Mount Kilimanjaro with the incredible Jill Castle, who was the first person to swim the English Channel with a stoma. But I know that mountain climbing is on the cards for you as well. So, like I said, it's going full circle. Now, from a cancer survivor to a mountain climber, how do you actually get to that point?
So me and my friend Scarlett, we were actually supposed to do it last New Year. I can't even remember what year we went. So New Year's Eve 2024. So last year, my climbing buddy sadly passed away from cancer, and also so did my father. And it was a really, really tough year. I cared for my dad and up until he passed. So I had to put my plans on hold, as you can imagine. But this year I said to, so my climbing buddy Scarlett, I said to her sister, I'm going to just do the exact same thing, but the year after. So yeah, this year I'm doing it. And when we were talking about it, she also had the mother of all surgery. She had like the chemo washed through and everything. And we were like, okay, we want to do something that's like challenging but like a once in a lifetime experience, you know, something that makes you feel really alive. So we came up with this idea, and then Gillian and the Stoma Chameleons people have told me about their thing, which they're up there doing at the moment. I just think they're also amazing. But yeah, I think for me it was, I would like to set myself a challenge, and I really want to see that sunrise over Africa on New Year's Day. Like, what an amazing, like, life-affirming experience. Whilst my climbing, Scarlett obviously won't be with me, but she will be with me when I know, like, when I get to the top, which I will. Oh, fingers crossed.
You will.
Yeah. I know I'll feel her and my dad, and yeah, so it'll be worth the wait. It's been a long time, but the training, in a way, everything happens as it's supposed to. because of my health issues as well, my training has been a little bit slower, but I feel confident that I can do it. And also it's to raise money for the hospital, which you know very well as well, the hospital that saved my life, who are doing incredible research about colorectal cancer, bowel cancer, and why so many younger people are getting it now. So yeah, it's all for a really good cause.
Wow. I can't wait to follow you on social media. Obviously you're going to share it when the time comes, because I think it's just something, it's so symbolic in every sense of the word. You know, other people would just sit back and put their feet up, but no, you've got to climb a mountain. It's not just a personal challenge. I think it's just so much more. And it's also symbolic of what we ostomates still can do. There's just so much and so much strength in what we can do if we are open to it.
Yeah, so true. And it is a climbing a mountain. And some days, even now, like we've had stomas for so long. And even now still, it feels like climbing a mountain some days. And that's okay. I think the point is that we can overcome those difficult days and keep going. And there are so many easy and fun and joyous and wonderful days as well as the hard ones.
We are almost at the end of the show, and you've just said it, the hard ones, the hard days. What is one phrase or one mantra that you use to basically, well, in German we'd say translated, you know, you pick yourself up and you readjust your crown, you know?
I love that.
What's one phrase that you use and that you say to yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess something that I say to myself a lot in the hard days is, this too shall pass. Like, I really think this is a good thing for me to realize both ways. The good days don't last forever, so embrace them. The bad days don't last forever, so just hold on and it'll pass. That's how I see it.
Wow, that's incredible. Thank you so much, Natalie. It brings us sadly to the end of this very special Soma for Life series, this October series sponsored by Dantec. First of all, a huge and heartfelt thanks to my incredible guests over the past 4 weeks, which was Lisa Murphy, Ross Davidson, Nikita Patel, and now obviously you today, Natalie. I'm really grateful. And each voice brought a story and a truth. And in doing so, you've helped others feel seen and heard. I think that is just so incredible. And of course, a massive thank you to Dantec for not only sponsoring this takeover, but for using their platform to truly amplify the lived experience of ostomates, because it's not just in products, but in purpose. So the series has been our contribution to World Ostomy Awareness Day, and I'm really proud of what we've created here. Once again, thank you, Natalie Woodward, for coming to Stoma for Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, as October wraps up, and actually my second season making it 2 years of having the show Stoma for Life, thanks to UK Health Radio, I will return with the usual fortnightly rhythm in November with season 3. And I'd love for you to continue tuning in, sharing, and being part of this growing community. So until then, thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay kind to yourself and to others. Oh,